Welcome to everyone in the house and those that have joined us online. This is the greatest season of your lives. First of all, I want to thank the Lord for being here today. Thank you, Father, for being here. Thank you, great God. Father, Son, Spirit of the living God, thank you for being here today. I thank you that you are here. We praise you. Join me. Thank him. Thank you, Lord, for being here. 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 Thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. Thank you for being here. Are you thankful? Thank you, Lord, for being here. Thank you, Father. Just listen for a minute. Scripture says if you have an ear, tune it to God. Listen for Him. So let's listen for a minute. Just listen. We talk a lot. You know, if you're always talking, someone can be giving you the information that you so desperately need, but if you're too busy asking the questions, you can't hear the answers. So be still and know that He's God. And that He is God with us. God with us. Thank you, Father. If I were to claim a denomination or a position, mine is just Emmanuel. God is with us. God is with us. Take that very seriously, and I'm so thankful. God, we praise you, we thank you, we love you. I see the Spirit of the Lord. I am aware, God is making me aware that, and I'm releasing prophetically that you're going to hear. God's going to speak to you personally, individually. You're going to hear. You are going to hear His voice. He's going to tell you some things He wants you to know. Very, very childlike, very simple. God's going to speak some things to you. He's going to tell some of you what you need to do. Some steps He wants you to take in faith for your health. Going to tell you some steps He wants you to take to go a bit beyond where you are right now, so you can go a great deal farther than you are right now in the areas of business and ministry, in your family, in your homes, in the vision He's given you that just hasn't progressed much. He's going to drop a secret, a mystery, a treasure in your heart. You're just going to say, God spoke to me. And when he does, be bold enough to say, the Lord spoke to me. I release that today. Some of you are going to dream about it. Some of you are going to wake up in the middle of the night and just have this, going to feel like this epiphany that just came into your mind. Some of you are going to wake up in the morning and say, I know just what to do. Some of you are going to be making breakfast or eating breakfast. Driving in your vehicle, you're just going to say, I hear God. I'm prophetically releasing something to you, so those that have an ear and would like to hear, use it to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the body. He said, if you'll be attentive to me, He said, I'll speak to you. And I'll show you some things that you're not aware of, inscrutable things, things you haven't known. Father, we thank you for that. You need to learn to become very independently dependent upon God. What I mean by that is able to hear Him wherever you are at any time. And then you can hear the ministries that God has put into place in order to strengthen and build up the body of Christ, the church. Father, we thank you for this today. That is as prophetic a word as any other word. Any word that I've released to you, this is prophecy. Can you sense the spirit of prophecy? Do you know what it sounds like? It doesn't always have to be shouted. It doesn't always have to come with shivers and shakes. And God told Moses, he said, I know your name. I know who you are. God knows who you are. He knows your name. And one of the things deeply convicted in my heart, if I can help your faith see how present God is with you, a lot of other questions just aren't necessary. Some things God's just not really that interested in you knowing, and some things he's very interested in you knowing. Listen for him. Hear what he has to say. What is God saying? Pray with me. Say, Lord, I have an ear. I have an ear to hear what you have to say to me. And I receive this word. I'm going to hear you clearly. I'm going to understand. And I commit my faith right now to act upon it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Take your seats. Well, this is a great day. I woke up. I'm breathing. Feels good. And I'm thankful that the Lord is here. Thankful that this is the day God has made. I'm thankful that the Lord is here. You know, he doesn't have to be. The Lord doesn't have to be here. Do you know that? He's omnipresent, but he can choose where he wants to be. He told Moses in Exodus 33, he said, I'm not going with you. That would scare me a lot if God said, but he said, go. He said, take this stiff-necked people and go into the land that flows with milk and honey. But he said, but I'm not going with you because you're just too stiff-necked. You're a rebellious generation. So that gives a little deeper appreciation for me to know that I can say, God, thank you for being here. Because he chose to be here. That's why he's here. He's here because he chose to be here. The word says, God so loved the world that he gave. He chose to give. He didn't have to. He could have destroyed. I mean, he did it once in the flood, except for 8 people he destroyed. It was gone. It was over. He didn't have to save us, but he did. He chose to save you. And the word says, God speaking, he says, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. So we should appreciate that. All right? You're dismissed. God bless you. Okay, we'll do a little more. What I'm saying is that is enough to turn your day around. God is here because he has chosen to be here. God is where he wills to be, which again elevates the understanding of your kingdom come, your will be done. God is here because he wills to be here. It's his will to be here. It's his will to speak to us. It's his will to convey an understanding to us that is beyond us. And even if we can understand what he's saying, the means of arriving there are still always greater. God is very reciprocal. He responds. That's a part of the nature of God, is that he is reciprocal. He responds to us. That again is something really important. And if we understand that, that again brings another level, another dimension to our faith. God is perfect in all his ways. He can do everything, and there's only one of him. There's only one God. Has always been and will always be. Everything exists today because in a fashion where we can see it and understand it is Because God created it, and He's a really great designer. And everything has a design, everything has a meaning, a purpose to it. We find in the Bible it says He created everything for His purpose and His pleasure. How many are here today? How many of you made yourself? How many of you chose to be here? Not in the house, but in the earth. So He chose. Really important that you're here then. It gives more meaning to that you just arrived or you were just born. It means you're here because God willed you to be here, which means He has designed you, which means He has designed something very specific for you and very specific to this particular generation that we are living and breathing in today, regardless of your age. You are not just someone in need. You are a specific design, which means God very carefully, very precisely formed you, and He wants you to understand why. Paul said it like this. He said, I pray for you continually for the spirit of wisdom and understanding. And what he's referring to is God. He said, so you may know Him better and you may know Him more. So we will always have the opportunity to know God in ways we have not known Him yet. You can preach a million sermons, but you will never find the last one. You can prophecy? You can prophecy a million prophecies, and you will never come to the last one. I know the Word says there will be a time prophecies will cease, but the word of them will never cease. So in essence, prophecy, the reality, the embodiment, what it accomplishes, what it does will never end. Because it all is the declaration, the decree, calling out, identifying Christ. For all that prophecy is about is really about Christ being revealed. Prophecy foretells and tells you not just where He was and who He was, but where He is, who He is, where He's going, and what He's going to be like there. And there doesn't have to mean somewhere down the road. And then we have to take it just a little bit deeper and say the future doesn't exist in time. The future is the essence of faith. And faith is the essence of the future. Without faith, you don't really have one. It's just the same thing today. Future as in events unfolding, time moving, things happening. And God is very reciprocal. He responds to us. And He has chosen us. So God makes the initial introduction. He presents Himself. He says, you haven't chosen me, I have chosen you. And I've called you out by name. It's really important to know what's going to happen and that you're a part of it. Because we are a prophetic generation. When Joel prophesied that word, in the latter days there will be an outpouring of the Spirit, and it happened. And then Peter stood up and said, this is that which Joel was talking about. We're that generation. And we are prophetic in nature. We are foretold, so we must foretell. We have been talked about, so we must talk about He who talked about us. God is reciprocal. He responds to your faith. God is a spirit. He needs a body. He made it that way. God is a spirit, and He said, I want or I need a body to represent who I am in all dimensions. We've got all spirit covered. We've got all seen and all spiritual aspects and dynamic covered in all the heavens. I want a human. I want a faith universe. I want something faith-based. And more than likely, the angel said, I don't know what that is, but if it's you're up for it and you're into it, it's got to be really good. So I don't know what man is that you're mindful of him, what you're talking about, but let's check it out. Let's see. And the Word says, and God said, let us, the triad of triad, trinity of trinity, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And God made you and I. And within us exists the triad of God. It's we are made up of a bunch of little bitty tiny things we can't even see, atoms. And within that, the framework of an atom is a trinity, and everything is created, and everything matches up to, and everything divulges its trinity if you look closely enough. Everything, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, let us, and our entire world is made up out of the trinity of God. And you can see it if you study it. Science has proven that. Science can prove a lot of things. Science can prove the existence of things or how a thing functions, but the one thing science can't tell you is whether you should do good with it or you should do bad with it, because science doesn't have a conscience. Science is a spirit. I mean, science science is a spirit in the sense that it doesn't have the embodiment of telling you when they, you know, science can develop the nuclear bomb, but science can't tell you whether you should blow someone up with it or not. Your conscience has to tell you that. The Spirit of God has to tell you what to do with what it is that you have. And in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, He said, this is all yours. But you need to know whether to do good or bad with it. And the only thing that's going to tell you that is my word. God's word is your conscience. Whether you believe or not, God created you for His purpose and for His pleasure, so He's giving you a conscience. And when your conscience becomes skewed and you don't have a conscience of right and wrong, that's called reprobate, which means void of judgment. Only God can give you that. You can learn a lot of things, but even a non-believer, if they have a consciousness, there is God's word in them telling them this is wrong and this is right. Whether or not they have the power in their mind to do what God says, that consciousness is there. Your consciousness is the will of the Father. Knowing to do right and wrong comes from God. You can't get away from Him. But He doesn't have to be there. He's chosen to be here. He's given us His will. And God isn't happy. Just use the word happy. God isn't happy because you do His will. God bless you. He doesn't need you to do His will. He's happy because you receive His will. He's not pleased because you seek the kingdom. Why would that please God, that you seek the kingdom? He's pleased when you receive the kingdom. Because God has everything. He doesn't have a need. He doesn't need us to do something, so there's a completeness in Him. He is complete in all ways. But what pleases the Lord is that you find it. What pleases the Lord is that you find salvation. You receive it. That's what pleases Him. Because God is love. And God willed to dwell and manifest Himself in you. And you are not you as you see you. God sees you as faith. He can see you differently than you see yourself. And you can't have this understanding of who He is, and you can't have the understanding of His will because you read about it. You can hear about it. You can kind of scientifically try to figure out what it means, but the only way you will know the will of God, and that's what pleases Him, not that you are seeking it, not that you want it, but that you get it. It makes God happy to make you happy. That's how He is. That's who He is. God is love, and He doesn't need anything, but what He wants, what He wills, is for you to get it. And for you to know where it comes from, because you can't get it. You can't get happiness and joy and peace and love. You can't go out and get it. I mean, there's not a store that says love for sale. I mean, they sell a lot of things, but that's not love. Or go out and say, here's peace. You know, it's $50 an ounce. You can't do that. Peace comes from one place and one place alone. Peace comes from the Spirit of God. And God wanted peace to embody people. I venture to say, if you were to talk about peace in heaven before man, I'm not sure exactly what that means, they may have said, because what is the absence of it? What is that? What is peace? Well, you're peace. You're at peace. Okay. I'm not sure what it is, but if you say it's good, I'm glad we have it. God, I thank you for being here. But when you lose your peace and peace comes, there's a level of appreciation. Now you understand what peace is. Now you understand what peace is. The word says the law came so sin could become incredibly clearly evil and sinful. In other words, so you get how bad sin is, so you can appreciate how great righteousness is. You can appreciate it. You have to listen. Those that have an ear, hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Faith, God's kingdom, God's will requires, desires a place to dwell. God embodies your faith. The kingdom of God embodies your faith. How does God dwell in us? I mean, did God shrink himself down to my size and come inside me? And then he's Steve's size, which is a little bit larger, and come inside of him. And then Alexi's a little bit different, go inside of him. I mean, how is God in me? How is God in me? Well, he's in me because he wills to be in me, but that's not why he's in me. He's in me because I pleased him by receiving him. You haven't chosen me, I've chosen you. That's the introduction. But draw near to me and I will draw nigh to you is the reciprocation. And the reason for that is relationship. To be able to become one with the Father. To come into the unity of faith, and the knowledge of the Son of God. Why? So we can demonstrate the future that is to come. The continuation of the will and purpose and power and joy and peace and promise of God. But the church, with all of its excuses through religion, because religion wants to control, it wants to basically be the design and to orchestrate the outcome so it controls the people. God said, I want to do away with that. We're going to do away with all the law, and we're going to bring forth the truth and the right and the reality, and we're going to make things right here. We're going to orchestrate the will of God so the power of God is clearly seen. God said to Moses, I'll demonstrate my power. When God told Moses, I'm not going with you, and he said, the reason I'm not going with you. See, if God told me that, I'd say, okay, maybe you should stay back for a minute. Because God said, if I go with you, I'm going to destroy you all before you ever get there. Because you're so stiff-necked. So not only is God with us, but he's with you by faith in him, which is your security. It's kind of like walking into an electrical field and you're all covered in metal. It's going to be a bad day for you. Or if you're insulated, you can walk through the field of his power. Well, your faith is like insulation. It allows you to have a relationship with God and for him to dwell in you and dwell through you, but it doesn't kill you. Because God is all power at all time. And if man were to step into the presence of God, man can't even look at God. God said that to Moses. He said, if you see me face to face, he said, you will die. So I'm going to put my hand over you, but I want you to know that I'm present with you. What we see as a man would destroy us when God introduces himself. Unless he comes to us through faith, so we understand him by spirit. Does that make sense? God is spirit. And he's saying, you can't understand that because you're man, but I want this. So you begin to understand me and you learn about who I am by your faith, which is what I embody. Your faith is who and what God embodies. God embodies your faith. So your faith is extremely valuable to you. And what's really important, the scripture says, Paul taught us this. He said, someone that is doubting and straddling the fence on two different sides is incomplete. They're not connecting correctly. They're double-minded. They're two-souled. And faith has no relationship. Faith cannot occupy an individual that has two ideas in their mind, two sets of standards, that believes in two different gods. So we have to stop treating Satan like he's a god. We just do. Satan, devil. By the way, so you know what that word simply means? It simply means slanderer. accuser. Well, I could accuse someone in this house of being, Steve, I'm going to accuse you of being a billionaire. I'm going to accuse you of being 3 feet tall. You accept it? Okay. I'm done. Do you understand? Well, the devil, no. That's dividing your faith, and the church has lost its future because its faith has been divided because it's had more than one God. Hear, O nations of the earth, the Lord our God is one God. When the devil does, I don't care what he does. If someone 10 miles away wants to shoot me with a slingshot, I don't care. Do you know why? Can't reach me. So why would I be concerned and talking about, there's a guy 10 miles away and he wants to shoot me with a slingshot. I rebuke that. I'm wasting all this time when the individual is so far away they can't reach me. So it doesn't matter. And that's what God is saying. No weapon formed against you will prosper. No weapon. None at all. And we have to get that simple, simple, elementary understanding. No weapon can prosper. So stop talking about him and giving him the only thing that he wants. The only thing he's ever wanted. You know what it is? Attention. I'm going to strip it. Well, strip him. Stop talking about him, and you've stripped him. He's running through the streets absolutely naked. And he's ashamed to come to your house because he's really ugly. So we're done. Devil done. Devil done. Say it. Devil done. God always and forever. Devil done, God always and forever. That should be a teaching song. It wouldn't be a worship song. It wouldn't be a praise song, but it would be a ministry song. Devil done, God always and forever. The Lord is ever present with me because he chose to be. Keep that in mind. It's not like you just walk up there and go, oh, God's all over. No, he's present because he chooses to be, which means it's on purpose. And God is going to respond to your faith undivided. Faith undivided. God, I give you all praise. I give you all honor. I give you all glory. Prophetically, God speaks to us sometimes. Or all the time. And I've been asked specific questions about different things. And a lot of times God will answer that specific question if it's in his will. If it's something he wants us to know. And I think sometimes he tells us things just so we can go, dummy. It was kind of a dumb question, wasn't it? And once you get the answer, you go, I wish they'd never asked that. But this has happened numerous times. Someone will ask a question of the Lord, inquire. Maybe God would give it to me or someone else. You speak to that person, and they get the answer. A bunch of other people are racking their brain trying to figure it out, and they finally come up with an idea. You come together, and maybe both ideas match, what God said to you and what they said. And then they say, well, how did you come up to with this conclusion? How long did you study? How many places did you go? What all did you have to do to come up with this, to come up with this formula? And I say, I don't know, how long did it take you? Oh man, years. And I'll say, it took me about 3 minutes. 3 minutes of prayer and 1 second of God said. The Lord told me. How do you know God told me? Are you kidding me? Are you telling me I did all of this to get here? No way. Yeah, God told me. I can't explain your formula, but I can tell you what the outcome's going to be because God told me. We need the God told me. Yeah. He that has an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. God told me. I don't have time to waste trying to figure out why. I just need God to tell me what is. And when he does, it is finished. It's what Jesus did on the cross. He paid for your sin. He paid for all your mistakes, past, present, and future, which doesn't mean you look to the future ones. It means done, now and in the future. And what was is no longer. And he delivered you, and he set you free. And when you receive that, God looks at you and sees everything that Jesus did for you and not anything that you did. Isn't that awesome? Everything that Jesus did, when God looks at you, just simply sees everything Jesus did. That's what represents you. The faith of Christ represents you. Everything God said, everything God did, everything Jesus paid for, God looks at you and says, that's all I can see. I don't know anything else about you. Paul said, I refuse to know anything among you save Christ and Him alone crucified. That's it. That's all I want to know. I was shooting one time and I said something. I said, you know what? I think the most important thing for us is to learn how to perfect our love. I think we would win the world if we would perfect our love. I think a lot of other questions would just disappear if we put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. If we become so proficient in knowing how to do what God did, so we know how to look the way God looks, see how God sees, hear what God is saying, and act upon it in the way He does, I think we'd change the world if we knew how to do one simple thing. Jesus was asked one time, what's the greatest law? The greatest law. Asking God, what's the most important thing? I mean, you could only, your mind would probably go crazy trying to figure out what God might say. He said, the most important thing is to love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, and to love everyone around you the same way. And Jesus walked, that's it. We're tired. We become cranky. I know a lot of cranky Christians. You know any? Doesn't matter. Because they work too hard. They try too hard. Just listen. God spoke to Noah and said, build an ark. I don't see any place in the Word where Noah said, an ark. Oh my gosh, I don't even know how to do that. Wow. Let me. You know what, God, give me a minute. Let me go and check with the council and see if they know how to build an ark. God just told Noah, build an ark. So what did Noah do? He built an ark. He didn't go to school. He didn't go to class. He just listened to God. The voice of God will tell you things that you do not know. Inscrutable things. Secret things. Mysteries. Treasures. And you'll get there a whole lot faster if you'll have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. God's with you because He chose to be. His kingdom is in you because He chose it to be there. He said, I'm going to place my kingdom within you. The kingdom of God is the rule of God. God ruling and reigning. It's all over the Word. It's real simple to see. Reigning and ruling in the earth. Reigning and ruling in you. All providences, all nations, all at the same time. But God can be present somewhere and you just don't hear Him because you're too busy trying to find Him elsewhere. God has the answer. He said, call on me and I'll answer you. I'll tell you anything you need to know. But we're too busy just racking our brains and trying to figure it out. And God says, why don't you find it out? Why don't you ask me? I'll tell you. Save you a lot of time and we can move forward. Just pay attention. I'm right here because I chose to be. Call on me and I'll answer you. There's a thing called sensory perception. It just simply means that there are nerves in our body. There are electronic elements in our system. And when something touches the body, you can feel it. You perceive it. Feeling and perceiving can be two different things in a sense. Or presence and perceiving, perceived presence, two different things. Something can be there, but if you don't perceive it there, it's invisible to you. Right? It's there, but if a bee landed on your hand, unless you were my wife or my daughter, if a bee landed on your hand and sat there for a minute, you'd feel it initially and then you wouldn't. Does that mean it's gone? No. Now, if it's my wife or my daughter and it lands there, they know it's never gone until it's gone because they're going to be too busy screaming and flailing their arms. I know I've been there where I'm saying, please stop. I don't want him to get angry at you and sting me. Stop. Be still and know God is God. May have to say, hold it, be still. I have a word from the Lord. Just so they'll stop so I don't get stung by the bee. And the word is, don't upset the bee. But it lands on you. Sensory perception. All of you have it. Like, wow, I wonder if I have sensory perception. You've got it. You have your ring on your finger. But you can't feel it because after it's been there a while, you just kind of dial it out. Your neurons just kind of, your brain just says, it's where? You don't remember it. You're not perceiving that it's there. Same thing with God. If we don't perceive that he is there, we can't see him. People that say, I don't hear from God. No, you're hearing from God. You're just not perceiving. You've got your mind on other things. You're trying too hard. You're not relying on your faith. You're not having an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And after he's there for a while, you just dial him out and you start listening to other things. It's like being in a crowd. Sometimes it's like being in a car with my wife and she'll say something to me like, you're not listening. I am listening. I'm just not perceiving. I was with some friends the other day. You know what I'm talking about. And I just said, and this one friend was saying to her husband, you didn't hear me. You weren't listening. You didn't hear. And I said, men have a tendency to be that way. Don't we, guys? We're here. We hear you. We're just not perceiving what you're saying. And when you bring our attention to it, then we say, I'm so sorry. What were you saying? Well, your auditory nerve had to hear it because it's still working because you can hear him now. But you just didn't perceive. You were not taking in the information because your mind was elsewhere. Where? Religion has dialed our senses down. Religion meaning the way man says it is. Trying to put God in the distance. Trying to perceive that he in some way is here, but he's not. Saying that the devil is in chains, but every now and then he slips out and he can reach out and grab you, but you have to rebuke and get rid of him, and when you do, you're okay. And this is all goofiness. It's foolish. It's nowhere in the Word of God. And if you don't understand that, how do I understand? I can't just study all day. Just call on God. He'll tell you, I'm God, I'm with you, and I'm going to cover you. Nothing's going to hurt you. Fear not, for the Lord your God is with you. You know, fear not is used, you probably know this, 365 times in the Bible. One day, one word for every day. Fear not, the Lord your God is with you. He said it for every day, 365 days a year, made sure it was in there 365 times. Fear not, fear not, fear not. Well, how do I not be afraid? How do I keep from being afraid? What keeps fear away? Love. I just love the Lord. And when I love the Lord, he's going to tell me, you don't have to worry about it. Everything's going to be all right, all right. Everything's going to be all right. Not only that, he will tell you inscrutable things that you do not know. Okay, this is as simple as I know to make it. So no one can go, I'm not sure what he was talking about. Are you sure what I'm talking about? We just need to walk in the love and the wisdom and the presence and the power and the Spirit and the truth of God. And you need to pay attention. You need to stay around people that think and pray the way you know you should be thinking and praying. Even if you're not, you need to get around someone that you know that is. You need to be inspired by the word and the actions, because you will never know what the kingdom of God is like until it's being demonstrated and lived through you. You'll never know it. You could look at dead in the face, alive in the face, and you still won't know what it's like. You can't look God in the eye, you'll die, number one, and know who he is. That's why he said, I'm going to come into you. I'm going to reveal myself through your faith. God embodies your faith, and that's how you become who you are in Christ. Because God embodies you by embodying your faith. So the question begs to be asked, how important then is my faith? It's essentially, absolutely, and positively important. It's really important we stop bragging about ourselves. It's really important that we surrender to him, because I promise you, no matter how beautiful you are, God's way prettier. And people would much rather look at his face than yours. You can be so intelligent. I've been around forever. I've always been around really intelligent people that try to make me look really dumb. And they have failed. But I'd rather look at God than Einstein, because God's way smarter. Be clothed in the glory of the Lord. Put on the new man. Think about this. You can't be saved until you're alive so you can die. A baby doesn't come out saved. You have to die to the Lord. Tells you how important humanity is. God wanted to demonstrate salvation, redemption. Why? Because it is a glory of God himself. It is the glory of Jesus Christ. God wanted his angels to know that. He wanted the host of heaven to know that. He loves them. And he wanted you to be that body. He wanted you to experience his love. He wants you to know who he is in you and not who he is somewhere out in the distance looking at him. So stop looking for God on the outside and stop relating to God on the inside. Start relating to who he is on the inside. Christ in you, the hope of glory. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. What is the kingdom of God? The word tells us very plainly, the kingdom of God is righteousness. It is joy. It is peace in the Holy Ghost. That's what it is. So if that is in you, the kingdom of God dwells in you by the very spirit of his nature, and it's living in your faith. So exercise it. I hadn't done pull-ups in a long time, years. The other day I went and grabbed the pull-up bar. I strained with everything in me to do 5 pull-ups. I thought, what is wrong with you? You have fallen apart. So I said, I know what I'm going to do every day. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to grab and I'm going to embarrass myself by straining at doing 5 pull-ups. So I continued to do it, and guess what? They just kept getting easier and easier and easier. And you can just go, look how strong I am. That strength is on the inside of you. The spirit of that thing is in you, and it's alive. And if you remind yourself how present it is and you act on it, you begin to experience the invisible. It makes itself known in the visible world. God is giving you power to take over the world. I know that sounds crazy, and someone may edit that and make me sound like a whack, but God has given us power to take dominion over the world. He's given you power to take dominion over your world, over your mind, over your spirit, over your body, over your lives, over your marriage, over your home, over your church, over your business. And God is putting the power of the culture in our hands. God, his kingdom reigns, his kingdom rules in the nations of the earth. My God rules through me. Say it, my God rules through me. He has given you every good thing. He doesn't need anything. What makes God happy is to give you everything. Simple. I'm not preaching a prosperity message. I'm preaching the prosperity of God. God just loves to give you everything. He doesn't want to hold anything back, any good thing. The word teaches us we lack no good thing. It pleases the Lord, not because you're righteous and you seek him, and it doesn't please God like, thank you for doing that for me. I really needed you to seek my kingdom. I really needed you to seek my will. No, God's saying, I know my will. You know, God knows his will. He doesn't need you to tell him what it is. He knows his will. What he wants you to do is receive it. God wants you to receive his will. He wants to give it to you. It doesn't make him happy that you seek him for it. It makes him happy that you receive it. He has no need. God is complete in all things. He is the fullness of all things, and he wants to dwell bodily in you just exactly like he did Christ. Your faith is what God embodies. That's how he dwells in you. Through his word, he'll speak his word to you, and there's the identity of Christ. And then you'll say, hey, you know, remember the word says, and his name is called the Word of God. That's who he is. His name is called the Word of God, which is, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. And God said, and it became. That power, that word is in you. We have stepped into a time where the body of Christ, the church, the prophecies of God are being elevated to a place that he's going to sit you in places of dominion and authority and power today. Today, today, today. People are just going to want to work with you. They're going to want to bring their millions and billions and trillions, their influence, their insight, their properties, their land. They're just going to want to bring all their toys to your house and play. They're just saying, it's time. God's put in my heart. See, you don't need to convince anyone to do anything. God will do it if you're convinced that he will. Faith can't be double-minded. It can't say God's all power, but God's all power, the end. It can't say, I'm blessed, but I got attacked. No, double-minded. You're going to be there a while. Faith gets you where you need to go in rapid fashion. Because faith doesn't need to inquire. Faith has no competition. Faith doesn't require an explanation. Faith is whatever you believe. There's a woman, issue of blood, broke, sick, dying. Her faith did something she couldn't do. Just said, there's Jesus. I touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. She does it. Jesus stops, silences the crowd and says, someone touched me. He said, I know it because virtue has gone out from me. Power has gone out from me. God, without anything except your faith and obedience, acting on your faith, will bring everything to you that you need. You just need to have an ear to hear and an eye to see what the Spirit of God is doing. He'll take you into, he'll take you through, he'll put you on top, he'll bring you over the other side, and he'll do it again. God gave the children of Israel the land of promise by promise, which means this is going to happen through your faith in me, who I am, and that I chose you to believe me. God chose Moses to believe me. Moses initially did what we do. But it's, I can't. That's not in me to do that. And God says, I will be with your mouth. Well, Moses didn't get it. So he didn't do it. Aaron had to do it. But God told him he would. And he said, can you send somebody else? Are you waiting for somebody else? Here am I, Lord, use me. I like that one better. Go and tell my people what God has said. Faith doesn't inquire whether or not it's possible. Faith doesn't inquire as far as a time frame or if there's enough. Faith just says it is. And that's this generation that God is raising up. Just a generation that simply lives by faith, just like he said. God said it, and there's no inquiry necessary. God said it, it will come to pass. And God will reciprocate your faith with his will and his word, but it's like the tide. It goes out kind of slow, but it comes in with a fervor. God will do exceeding. That's where that comes from. Abundantly, more than you know to ask or think. Why? Because your faith does not have a dimension. Your faith is endless. That's why the word says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And nothing shall be impossible to me. This is that generation. And you can believe it, or you can say that sounds like a great fantasy. Or you can be a woman with the issue of blood. Her faith, Jesus says, it's your faith. Your faith had the ability to draw essence from me and do whatever it was you needed without us even having a conversation, because my spirit is all things, all present at all times, because my Father has will to heal you, but your faith gave you the ability to receive his will, and now you're well. That's God in you in everything and anything you ever have or will do that means anything. I want, I want, I want. God, what do you want me to know? I promise you, his ideas are a lot bigger than yours. His will is a lot greater than yours. Faith doesn't need to inquire in order to get an answer or go ahead. Faith only requires a heading. That's it. It doesn't look for counsel. It only needs your agreement. Just you. Because you've already got the Trinity behind you. If two or three agree, there they are. Faith said, I am faith in action. I am the will of the Spirit and the favor and the fervor of God. I'm unstoppable, unbeatable, undeniable. God is for me. Nothing can be against me. 1,000 could fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand. It really doesn't matter. Only with my eyes will I behold and see the reward of the wicked, because I've set my affections on you. In other words, I'm going to have to look at it and even know it's there. My sensory perception is kicked in and I can't sense anything except the Spirit of God. and I stay attentive to His word and to His will. Because if it's not God's will for me, it just isn't going to happen. And wherever I find myself, if God's going to do inscrutable things, things you don't know, things beyond, He's going to take you beyond where you are, places that you think, I can't do this, places that are going to seem trying to you simply because you doubt that you're able to do it. Just like with Moses. When God called Moses, it was a trial to him. With a different perspective, it would have been, oh my God, what a great joy. Yes, Lord, absolutely. Let's go and do it. You said you'll be with my mouth. You'll be with my mouth. I wonder what Moses would have sounded like had he said yes. If God could heal the woman with the issue of blood, blind Bartimaeus, and the list goes on. Moses could have outpronounced Pharaoh, spoken with wisdom. His tongue would have been loosened. He would have got healed that day, but he chose not to because he said, I am not a man of. Instead of, you are the God of. You are the God of. And you being God of is governor over all things. The governors are on your shoulder. You reign and you rule. God with me. Our government will be what our faith says. It has been. And it hasn't been very good. It tells us something. Read the word. It's our faith that determines the government. If we back off, if we're waiting for something to come, it'll come. But if you say, God is Lord over all, God reigns and God rules. God will put in position His will, His seat of authority and power, and He will be glorified. God and God alone. Not any one individual or a multitude of individuals. It's people that hear the voice of God and respond to the will of God, and that's going to come through the body. We are to be the commanders in chief through Christ in this world as to what presidency is, what government is, what education is, what business is, what the economy is. Christ in us is the hope of God's glory. The Lord reigns and rules in the hearts of men. And then all believers are joyful and happy. And we're all together in the unity of faith. Because we say, I can see my faith. Your faith has become the essence of your conviction and your understanding. So today I pray for the clipping of the Lord. I pray for the gardener to come through your life and everything that is not supposed to be connected to you because it refuses to believe the way you believe is going to be trimmed off, and it's going to happen. And it's going to happen before the following month ends. Within 60 days, if you will receive it, why 60 days? Because that's what I see. God will clip off everything, every doubt and unbelief in your life. It's important who you're around. The Word tells us, get around like-minded people, those that believe with you, those that join you in your faith, those that come together in the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God. You don't need someone that says your faith needs to inquire of this person and that person and this person here and see if you've actually on track. No, your faith never gets lost. It doesn't matter where your faith is, it'll find a way. And it'll do it more quickly, more expeditiously than anything else. It'll get you there more quicker than your GPS will get you there. God will do as He has done. I mean, God's no respecter of persons. Enoch found a way. I mean, he made it all the way. He just out of earth into heaven. We have come to a day where heaven and earth have to unite. Well, what is heaven going to unite with? The only thing that is. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Where is He? Christ in you. You receive power when the Holy Ghost has come on you. Guys, that's all we need to know. Jesus is coming. He came. He's here. And He's not going to stop. And He's going to come in glory after glory after glory until one day we forget how to die. We forget how to be in pain. We forget how to get old. And Matt Crouch will be happy because his hair will forget how to go gray. Got you back. Spirit of the Lord will come that day of resurrection, that great day of resurrection. Whew. What a day. That's you. That's the body of Christ. Raised incorruptible. Powerful. Don't remember what it feels like to be dying, to be aging, to be fearful, to be in pain. Great resurrection. The glory of the Father manifest through the body of Christ. And that's why I say he's not coming for me as though he needs to rescue me. He's rescued me. He's coming with me because he dwells in me. It's the only place I know that he told me he was. I can't find him anyplace else. How can I see him so far away in the future and here too? Seems double-minded. Unless he takes me with him. Unless he's with me and I'm with him. I think he said something, the scriptures say something like, we are seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Just let your faith take you there. We can walk around this planet as long as God wills. But the glory of his Spirit and power is raising up a body just like he said. And the kings and the leaders of the earth will look at you and call you blessed. So what do you believe without doubting? God took his people into the land of promise, but it wasn't, they didn't look and go, oh, look, they're all smaller than us, and they're all, their gardens are great. They're great little tiny gardeners, you know. They've got it going on. Be easy to just swat them out of the way. But there were giants, mighty men, warriors, armies all around. I mean, the place and all around it. Not just inside, all around. Fortress. And God said, and that's all we need. God said, and it happens. In him, yes, and amen. That's your faith. We have to believe without compromise. We have to believe without inquiry. No inquisitiveness, just a heading. All your faith needs is a heading to get you where God wants you to go, show you what he wants you to do, lead you in a way of peace and joy and hope and influence in spirit to reach and touch other people, to express your love in a way that people so desperately need, not a religious way, but a reality way, a real way, a powerful way. People will be greatly moved and they'll come to know the Lord through the love that is in you. And it changes them. That's why Jesus said, it is so important that I go in the form that you can see me without faith, so you can now only see me by faith. And when you do, who I am can dwell in you too. And that's who Christ in you is. So just pray with me. Jesus, I receive who you are, all that you are, as my Lord and Savior. I renounce myself, my sin. I receive you, all you are, all you've done. I make it mine by faith in you, in Jesus' name. What a great, powerful prayer. Believe it's done, and it's done. Now we walk in the power of that day. And then you know what it means when I say, this is the greatest season of your life. Times and seasons will feel without a reason that they have changed, except that we can say, God said. The Lord said, and it is so. Don't rely on that comfortable place where you say we're okay and we're here. But don't be discouraged thinking that you're not someplace further along than you should be. But have the vision. All your faith needs is a heading. And you continue to pursue in that direction. Faith doesn't know a crooked road, but it can certainly negotiate one. It'll make a straight line. And that's what Jesus said. John the Baptist came preaching, "Make straight the way of the Lord. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." He walked in his anointing. He did that. He fulfilled that word. Isn't that amazing? You should be encouraged by all the word that God has fulfilled in the Bible. All that you read that is finished. And you should listen to what he's saying. This is the day and this is the hour. I love it. This is the day God has made. Not another. This is the day God has made. Today. It's the only reality that we have. Schools will be changed. The educational system is going to radically be transformed. New stations of education will make their presentation. And God will do with them as he did with the children of Israel. Because of the faith of Caleb and Joshua. You see, how can you overtake a land that is greater than you are unless that land is overwhelming you? Except for your faith that says we are more than able today. That pleased the Lord, and that's why they went in. Good report. The gospel is good news. Good news. And the redeemed should be focused. No itinerary outside that. Focus. This is what God says. This is my heading. And all that we do under the Lord. You'd be better off to die in faith than to live in unbelief. So just believe. Well, what if we die? Well, if you die, you die in faith. And you continue on. But if you live in unbelief, you die the day you begin because your hope is gone. Christ in you is the hope of glory. God is transforming the nation as we know it into something you have not known, just like he said in his word. Whether you agree with policy, politicians, that is not anywhere within the equation. That you see God reigning as Lord, Redeemer, and Savior. That is the answer. I feel the heartbeat of God in this word. I feel the favor of the Lord. Not because he gets something of it, but he gets to give everything through it. Through who he is, through his word, through the faith he has given to you. Massive companies and corporations are going to bow their knee to the love of God in the body of Christ. God is going to speak them in their dreams, wake them up with this undeniable sense of his presence and give them an assignment, and they're going to follow by faith. We are going to see the body of Christ bigger and stronger than we have ever seen it in many lifetimes. I see the body of Christ reigning and ruling in every type of company, corporation, technology, education, government, reigning and ruling, not a few of them popping up here and there. I see the largest owners, corporate owners as well. Of businesses and companies all around the world. Blood-bought, spirit-filled, faith-driven, leaders, presidents, CEOs, CFOs. God is raising up this generation to live by the economy of God's will and purpose. And there's more gold in these hills than you could imagine. And it all belongs to the Lord, and He's giving it to His people. The price of gold is the highest on market of all time in history. I see that as God's currency, God's economy. I see it in such a spiritual yet relevant way that God is saying, all the gold and the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to the Lord. Well, it's just almost like if that were currency in heaven, heaven just got richer. That's our currency. And the kingdom of God is right here. And Christ is in you. And Christ is with you because He chooses to be. So go inherit the land with nothing but your faith and a heading. Because faith does not acknowledge interruptions. Faith pursues. It is its living. For it is written, you will live by faith. Give the Lord praise this morning.